Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 12 of the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Brian Sippets, and you can reach me at HockeyStrengthPodcast@gmail.com. As always, feel free to contact me if you have questions or comments about today's episode, or if you'd like to hear us discuss specific issues in the future. Today, we'll be talking to physical therapist Greg Roskovensky about his recent article about pain and what it means for athletes and coaches. In just a minute, we'll be talking with Greg, but first, in case you aren't familiar with HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, it's a members-only collaboration of the top NHL, collegiate, and private strength and conditioning coaches, where you'll find hundreds of articles, videos, programs, and webinars, all geared towards improving the performance of hockey players. So whether you're a strength and conditioning professional, a motivated player, youth coach, or hockey parent, HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com is the only training resource you will ever need to produce healthier, stronger, and more effective players at any level. New articles, videos, and programs are posted weekly, along with periodic audio interviews and webinars, and all of our coaches weigh in on the ongoing forum. If you're new to HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, you can gain instant access to our members-only content for just $1 for the first 7 days. You'll be able to check out training videos, current programs, and articles from some of the best strength coaches in hockey, or you can even get advice from them directly in our forum. We're sure you're going to love the content, but if you aren't completely happy with it, simply cancel your trial membership and you'll be out just $1. After the 7-day trial period, you can continue to be a part of the greatest collection of hockey strength and conditioning coaches on the planet for just $14.95 a month, or you can get 2 months free if you sign up for the whole year at just $149. Either option is an incredible bargain for so much material from these great coaches, so don't miss your opportunity to join them. One more thing before we get on the phone with our guests for today. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com is proud to present our very first Great Lakes Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic, being held at Eastern Michigan University on May 9th. This one-day event features 7 of the Midwest's top coaches and presenters, and it's going to provide a ton of great information for anyone who works with hockey players. Our presenters include Joe Marr from the University of Michigan, Justin Rothlingsheffer from Miami University, and Daryl Nelson from USA Hockey's National Team Development Program. And each is going to share information on how to better prepare your hockey players for the game. To check out a full schedule of our presenters and topics, head to GreatLakesHockeyStrength.com. You can even register for this great event and earn CEUs for attending. This is going to be a great day full of awesome information for anyone who works with hockey players, so we hope you can join us. All right, well, we've got a lot to talk about today, so let's get on the phone with our guest, physical therapist Greg Roskovensky. All right, well, we're on the phone with Greg Roskovensky. He's a physical therapist with the University of Michigan. Greg, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Great. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
So, yeah, no problem.
Recently, you posted an article on the site that got quite a bit of interest. I think it's something different, it's definitely something that we haven't had before. But just talking about pain and what pain actually is and what it means or what it should signal to us as strength coaches. So I think, first of all, what does pain mean? I mean, what is the signal aside from something that hurts?
Pain is a really complex thing, Brian, and there's multiple definitions, and different researchers have come up with different things. Two that I like, the Stanford University School of Medicine describes pain as the way your brain interprets information about a particular sensation that your body is experiencing. And that's pretty powerful. It brings into the fact that pain isn't just something that happens to your ankle or your knee. It's something, it's a signal that's sent to your brain, and then your brain interprets that information and spits out another signal that is pain. One of the big pain researchers of the last decade or 15 or 20 years, Lorimer Moseley, came up with another one. And he says that pain is produced by the brain after a person's neural signature has been activated and concludes that the body's in danger and that action is required to help you. So those are the two big definitions that I follow or that I subscribe to that really lead me to believe that the brain plays a pretty big part in this.
So really it's the interpretation of the brain that decides kind of where the pain is. It's not necessarily, is it a localized signal that's sent, say you have knee pain, is it sent from the area of the knee, or there's just a spinal cord message that says this is where the pain is coming from, or your brain interprets that?
Mm-hmm. So there's always really a signal coming from an area, and let's talk about the knee. So say the inside of your knee bothers you, where a signal is sent from your knee to your spinal cord. In the spinal cord, something happens. The brain decides, or something called interneurons decide, that it's something that's worth being passed to the brain. And one of the fun things about your brain is it doesn't really have a pain-specific area. It actually borrows different areas, and everyone's areas that it uses are different. The brain spins that message around to all the different areas that it needs to and decides whether or not it is painful or not. If it decides that it's in danger or you're in danger or danger in any way, it sends a signal to your knee that says, ouch, this hurts, stop what you're doing, get some help.
So that has to do more with, is that, you know, with acute and chronic pain? You know, is somebody who's in chronic pain going to feel this, have the same kind of reaction as somebody who has an acute pain? So like a, you know, they blow a knee or something like that. Obviously, that's going to be painful, but is chronic pain handled the same way?
Chronic pain is a little bit different than acute pain. And the way that is acute pain, typically the way it works is that signal gets sent to the brain. The brain spits back where there's danger is not, and you start to feel your pain. And over time, that signal in the chemical channels of your body starts to decrease and decrease, and it kind of goes back to normal levels over time. Someone who's had chronic pain, their body gets really good at sensing pain. And now their resting levels that take for that that action potential to get to your brain actually rest at a much lower level. So it gives you a lot less room to play with before that pain signal is sent.
In that specific area or globally?
It can be global. Once you've been feeling pain for a while, once that signal gets to the spinal cord, and with that inner neurons that I talked about earlier, levels above and below can also play into those things. And that's how people with chronic pain, that pain starts to spread. It might start in your knee and end up in your hip and ankle after a year or two that you've had that pain. So that play in the spinal cord allows it to spread a little bit once you've had it for a long time, and your brain gets really good at sensing that information.
So it may not necessarily be that you're developing hip or ankle pain with your knee pain. It may be that the same signal that's been causing the knee pain also starts to cause, or you sense it in your ankle and hip.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, it's definitely something that's, you know, argued over a lot. It sounds like there's several different theories involved with pain. But I think for us as strength coaches, our biggest interest is going to be, what is pain or an athlete's pain mean to us? So how do we as strength coaches interpret pain, and how do we know when? Obviously, I think the general idea is that if that hurts, don't do it anymore. We'll find a different method or a different regression that we can do. So is that a pretty good route for, or a pretty good assumption for a strength coach to make?
With pain, there's a bunch of myths that go around. And it depends on who you follow as a researcher. If you follow the Gray Cooks of the world, they may want you to be completely pain-free before they get you back into exercise. If you follow some of the more prolific pain researchers, you know, some of the myths they follow is that pain's always a bad thing, or you have to be out of pain completely before you start moving normally and resuming your normal activities. So there's some play between both of those thoughts. So some of the myths is, you know, pain's a really good thing. It's not always a bad thing. If you think about how pain works in your favor, if you step on a nail or you put your hand on a hot stove, your body's alerted to the fact that you're in danger and you need to get that off of there. So pain's a good thing. We need pain. And pain kind of drives us to know and really feel when it's time to pull back a little bit. So when we go through different stages of pain, or, you know, say an acute injury or something like that, we need to think smartly about it. If you sprain your ankle in a basketball game or on a hockey rink, slam into the boards or something like that, you know, that acute pain is definitely an alert that you've done something to yourself. It could be a lot of damage. It could be a little damage, but it doesn't, the amount of pain you have doesn't always correlate to the amount of damage that you have. So that's something to remember as well.
That's interesting. So because you feel a lot of pain doesn't necessarily mean there's a lot of damage there.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you don't need to have damage to have pain. I mean, that's something that happens too. Tissues heal. And that's one big thing to remember as strength coaches and physical therapists and anyone involved in the care of an athlete, is that eventually your tissue is going to heal. Every tissue has a normal healing time. And in the young, healthy, athletic population, that's going to be pretty quick for most things. Once pain lasts beyond that normal healing time, then there's a pretty decent chance that what is triggering that athlete's pain or that kid's pain isn't necessarily the injury itself, but some of these neural changes that have happened over time.
That sounds a little bit deeper than I think, you know, that might be more in the physical therapist scope of practice than at least my strength coach experience. But So give me a practical example. Say we're doing like a simple split squat, and somebody comes up to me and says, "Hey, I'm getting pain in my knee with this." So, you know, what should our steps be?
So the first thing you want to ask yourself when someone has knee pain during exercise is that the first time that they've ever felt that pain, or did they do something in a previous workout, or did they trip over a curb or something that may have twisted their knee or done something to them where they experienced pain in that moment? The second thing you really want to look at is, you know, have them do the exercise and look at it. Does it look terrible? You know, or is their knee driving into a hard valgus or something like that where the mechanics are so far off that potentially it's just throwing things off and causing that person pain? So if you can make a simple fix like that and you give a coaching cue or do an R&T technique or something like that, that could immediately help their pain. You want to look into that stuff.
Okay. So there is obviously, we can be the first line of defense there as strength coaches in trying to decipher, whether we can get that to be a non-painful movement that's of value.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then after that, you know, if it's a persistent thing or something that we just can't get cleared up, it's maybe a referral to PT or if you have the skills, if you're SFMA or,
If you're a strength and conditioning coach and you're also an athletic trainer and you have that more medical background to check into something, you're SFMA certified or something like that, feel free to delve into it. You know, the great cook of the world, the functional movement screen, the second you hit pain and that score becomes a zero, it's time to refer out. So that's where it's good to have a good relationship with the medical professional, be it a physical therapist, enter shameless plug for myself, chiropractor, a physician, something like that, to where you have a pretty good referral source where you can get people in pretty quickly.
Okay. Another thing that I wanted to touch on a little bit is, how much have you come across or what do we know about pain in the way? Like we know the body's going to avoid pain. So if you have a movement that's painful, things can get out of whack in a big hurry because then you start compensating for that painful movement. Your body's going to try to reroute around pain. Then all of a sudden you don't have pain in that movement anymore, but the movement patterns are way off what they should be. So, that's another thing to kind of think about is that just because there isn't pain, and we touched on this a little bit earlier, just because there isn't pain doesn't mean that nothing's wrong. So is that where something like a functional movement screen comes in to play where you're now looking at movement patterns rather than, just looking for pain?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's something that it would be a good thing to start with all of your athletes, some sort of movement screen, whether I use the FMS, you use the FMS, whether it might be becoming a supple leopard or something like that, that introduces movement standards into play or, other researchers or other philosophies about it. But it's a good thing to have a baseline of where your athletes are, because then, down the road, if something comes up and they can still squat pain free, but it just looks different than it used to. That you know that something's coming up. The body doesn't necessarily care how you do something as long as you get what you're supposed to get. So if you're restricted in the hips, you're going to round out at the low back in a squat. If your lats are tight, you might extend through your lumbar spine, your thoracic lumbar junction when you're going overhead with motions.
Yeah.
So your body doesn't necessarily care how you get there as long as you get there. And that doesn't always have to be painful, even if you're doing it poorly.
Right. Effective versus efficient.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Get the job done at all costs.
All right. So basically for us as strength coaches, give me a top three things we should know about pain and how it should affect our practice.
Probably first big thing about pain, you want to know why. You want to explore the reasons why someone's having that pain, like we talked about earlier. If it's an acute inflammatory process, usually there's an injury here. It's pretty obvious that there's an acute inflammatory process. Is the area warm, red, painful, swollen, stuff like that. In that case, it's not your place to intervene. That's when it's a good time to refer out. That inflammation, that chemical problem that person's having can inhibit the muscles from working properly. Pretty similar to like a post-op ACL where the quad contraction is just really terrible for that first few weeks. You really need to get through that, but you need to get rid of that swelling as well. Second big thing is check out the movement quality. Is it a movement quality issue? Is when they're squatting, their knees dropping into a valgus, their midfoot dropping into a pronation, over pronation, something like that. something where you can use a simple corrective technique or an RNT or corrective exercise to, or foam rolling to help you to get through those things. Sometimes those things can be very simply fixed just by watching someone and saying, hey, change this. You know, if you make them aware of it, they're able to do it properly, and that can change everything as well. The next big thing is that you can train around injuries. You can find ways to do it. So, you know, you have knee pain with deep knee flexion. You can focus more on your hip dominant patterns, like a deadlift or a swing or a pull through, step downs. You can unweight the squat a little bit by using a TRX and doing an active assisted range of motion kind of thing. You can work from box squats with a high box to use less range of motion through your knee and start the process of getting people through some of these exercises. You know, if the pain is just something that's not going away, then you want to refer out. Similarly with the shoulder, you know, someone might have a rotator cuff issue. You could try some isometrics just to get some activation and some blood flow to the area. You know, work on scapular strength and things like that, thoracic mobility, to try to get them work around the injury so they're not necessarily flaring themselves up. But a lot of that stuff can sometimes help after a few days.
Awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, overall, I think the biggest interest in this article for strength coaches it should be you're seeing athletes, especially in a team setting where you're trying to come up with something on the fly and you don't have maybe the luxury of sitting down one-on-one with the person. We see a lot of pain.
Absolutely.
Coming in, and it's, you know, like you said, it's based on poor movement patterns. Some of it, you know, somebody took a shot off the ankle last night and they're just really immobile. But I think, you know, from a strength coach perspective, we deal with pain all the time. And I think it's really important for us to know how to make intelligent decisions and know when is our place to help out and when we're going to be referring to somebody.
Absolutely. And I think the big thing to remember there, you know, if someone takes a rolled ankle or a puck off the skate or a shin or something like that, where there's just a nice big red inflamed area, you know, that's not your place. But if you're watching someone move and they're not moving well, that's exactly when it's time for you to try some of your magic and get in there and see if you can change it.
Cool. All right. Well, Greg, well, I appreciate your time and great article on the site. And I think, you know, people have enjoyed that. It is different. It is something that approaches or that we're approached with every day. So thanks for taking the time to write that. And hopefully we can get you in on some more topics coming up here soon.
Absolutely.
All right, take care.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
All right, well, that's going to wrap up episode 12 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Remember, you can gain access to articles from Greg and many other top hockey strength and conditioning coaches by becoming a member of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. Also, don't forget to check out our lineup for the very first live event, the Great Lakes Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic. That information and registration can be found at GreatLakesHockeyStrength.com. This is Brian Sippets for the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. Be on the lookout for episode 13 coming up in just a few weeks. Until then, be sure to train smart.